Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. I'd like to thank Priscilla for providing us a beautiful song. Today's her birthday, and we are very blessed to have a daughter, as she's so dedicated. And we are very blessed to all the other wonderful members that we have in our church that are so dedicated as well. May the Lord bless us as we worship Him. The title for our message this morning is Where I Belong. First of all, let's understand the word belong. Literally, belong, the B, it stands for being. Long means to last. Belong is something, is a form of being that we wish to last. It is, what does it mean to belong? Belong sometimes is something that we want. It's something that all of us want. Something we all desire. But it's more than just a desire. It's more than just what we want. Belong is a deep, a very, very deep and profound natural need that we all humans have. All of us. If there is one thing that is common to all of us, is the need to belong. Humans are biologically, cognitively, physically, and spiritually wired to love, to be loved, and of course, to belong. Belong is more than just showing up or to sign up for something. It is more than just transferring your membership. It is more than just have your presence in a place or renewing a subscription. It is more than just crossing the aisle. It's more than just be part of a class, graduating class. It's more than just being in the school. Because of this natural need, we often try to acquire it by trying to fit in and by seeking approval of others around us, which I may say, they are not the same thing. Yes, brothers and sisters, to fit in, it is not the same thing as to belong in, to belong to something. We greatly want to belong. Yes, we do. We want to do something that makes us feel great about ourselves. That's natural. That is a divine gift that we have. And we want this so desperately that sometimes we do whatever it takes to achieve it. Sometimes we do even some things insane just to feel like we belong to something. Sometimes we try so hard to fit in, just to fit in, just to be part. But fit in, brothers and sisters, is not the equivalent or a substitute for belonging. Please tell this, teach this to your young. Teach this to your children, because they all they feel the pressure of belonging. And sometimes they mix fit in with belonging. It is not the same thing. It actually, fit in destroys the act of belonging, the true belonging. If we get to be me, somebody once said, if I get to be me, I belong. If I had to pretend to be like you, I'm just fitting in. Belonging is being somewhere where you want to be and where you are wanted. Fitting in is being somewhere where you want to be, but they don't care one way or the other. Now, if you had an opportunity to receive the bulletin, or if you go online and see the bulletin, I want to call attention to the bulletin cover. We put this cover together, and you see there a head of garlic. We all know how strong garlic is. Some people eat garlic so much that you can sense when you are in their presence. I remember when I was in college, one speaker came to our church and he spoke to the, you know, to the young people in the school. He spoke about the value, the importance of garlic. Oh my, my. At night was hard, even though our dorm was so big, was like a two, it was two floors and lots of rooms, the two aisles. It's like a huge hotel with so many rooms, and we all have, we could smell garlic all night long because some kids decided they need to eat garlic because somebody came to talk to the school and said the garlic was so good. So, but I don't think that the speaker meant that everybody eats to eat garlic every night. And it was awful, the smell in the entire building. Garlic is so strong, we know. And garlic has the ability to penetrate everything that it touches. If you touch all the food with garlic, garlic penetrates. So as we look in our bulletin cover, we put, you notice that a carpel of our orange is fitting in right there on the garlic. Can you imagine for a few minutes how that orange would taste like? Because just try to fit in, just because, and you notice that we said, just because you're trying to fit in, it doesn't mean that you belong there. You may have the shape, you may have the ability to fit into some circumstance in life, but the outcome is going to show you clearly that you do not belong there. Instead of being an influence upon those that you think that you fit in, they will become an influence over you. The difference between, and somebody once said, the difference between going to or belonging to can be seen in the picture of a football game. You know, we, our season is about to start, and some of you like football. It says, look at a picture, a football game with 60,000 desperate needing exercise. Let me repeat, 60,000 desperately needing exercise, watching 22 men desperately needing rest. One thing is to go into, another thing is to belong to. Those that belong to are doing all the exercise. Those just want to be there, they are watching those that are getting the exercise. Let's open our Bibles. Yes, let's open our Bibles in Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. You know, Genesis chapter 4 talks about Cain. What Cain did. Cain, you, as you know, he killed his brother. And verse 16 says, then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Many people speculate about where is this place, Nod? Is there this place even existed? Cain settling east of Eden implies that he was further removed from the garden from Adam and Eve, where Adam and Eve were. In other words, he moved away from his parents. Why? Because he knew that he didn't fit in anymore and he didn't belong anymore. Because his crime, and his, not only his crime, because you see, he could have repented, as we were talking about forgiveness this morning. He could have repented, but no, he did not seek, just like Lucifer, he did not seek repentance. Just opposite. He increased his anger and he walked away from the presence of God. He wanted to be away from, he didn't belong anymore, because he chose not to belong. His fate was to live a life of an outsider. The fact is that Cain left the presence of God suggests that he lived the rest of his life alienate from God. Yes, he created false religion. He created the opposition to God as far as religion go. From the moment that he decided to build his own altar and offer his own offering, he created himself a God. He made himself a God. He was not worshiping God. That's why his offering was not accepted. 6,000 years later, human beings are still doing exactly the same thing. They are going to church on their terms. They don't care if they belong to God's church. They just want to fit into whatever they feel comfortable with. And that's why so many religions have been created. And they all follow the same pattern of Cain. They do what they think is right, not what God wants to be right. Abel was willing to do what God wants him to do, but Cain did as he pleases. And the religion in the world today reflects those two aspects. There are those that are still doing God's will because they belong to God, and those that just try to fit in because they don't care about belonging to God. They just want to be accepted. They just want to be part of a group. The word nod in Hebrew means wandering, exile, a wavering, a fugitive. This corresponds to God's word to Cain that he would be a fugitive, a wanderer, a vagabond, an individual that will be away from everyone because he didn't belong. It seems plausible that the phrase land of Nod is a proverbial and not really a geographic location. It could be. It could be that many today, even this day, are living in the land of Nod. You know, Nod is another word for sleeping. You know, Nod, fall asleep. There are people, there are, sometimes they come to church and the church for them is the land of Nod. So it is not really a geographical location. It's just the fact that he went to be away from God. He was a fugitive for the rest of his life. We don't know how come he turned so bad, but that a choice that he made. The Bible seems to mean that whatever Cain went, it will call the land of the wandering. Cain built a society totally detached from God. Yes, he built rebellion. Now look what happened when we go to two chapters later, Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, the New King James Version. It says, now it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them. Then the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all who they chose. Now, of course, the sons of men here are the sons of Cain. The sons of God here are the sons of Seth, those that remain faithful to God, following the example of Abel. And those that follow the steps away from the presence of God are called the sons of men. 4,000 years later, when Jesus talked about what the Jewish people were doing with religion, he says, in vain you worship me, because you follow the commandments of men. The sons of man, the things that are men do on their own. Cain found the religion of man because it was according to what he believed, not what God intended. Today is not any different. There are churches created by men. And there is the remnant of God, the people that belong to God. And so Genesis 6, 1 and 2, it says, now it came to pass when man began to multiply, as we read. Man began to multiply. And that's, of course, the same thing that happened to Eve. She looked at the fruit and she thought that it was beautiful. And so she sinned. So the sons of God fall for the same thing their mother Eve did. They saw the women of the sons of men were beautiful. I'd like to say this to the young man that is listening today. Or to the parents, you can tell to your young sons. Be careful with your eyes. Because they can be a trap that Satan may use to destroy you. Be careful what you covet. Be careful what you're looking for. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, there is a text that I would like to, there is an expression that I would like to call your attention to. First, in verse 9, it says, do not, I'm reading for a New King James Version, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink or anything that can mess up your mind. Okay? It can be drink, in today's language, can be any substance that you take that intoxicate your mind. It says, nor you, you know, the Levite or your sons, when you go into the place of prayer, the tabernacle, don't take those things, because if you get there with your mind intoxicated, you will die. It shall be a statute forever throughout all generations. And by the way, some of you may say that this is just talking about the priest. No, this was for the entire world. Not only to the Jewish, but this is God speaking to everyone. This has been a principle from the beginning, from creation. And here verse 10 says, you should not intoxicate your mind or affect your mind, because you need your mind to be able to distinguish between what is holy and what is unholy, what is between what is clean and unclean. Now, if the sons of God, we have used that principle, they would not have been intoxicated by the beauty of the sons of the daughters of men. When Leviticus talk about this, that you should distinguish between holy and unholy, it's not talking only about food. We need, in every aspect of our life, we need to be able constantly, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to be able to distinguish between holy and holy, holy and unholy, between what is clean and unclean. Every choice we make, we need to use that principle. It's about how we dress. It's about what we eat. Is about what we relate to, is about where we go, we try to fit in, or where we belong. Because if we try to fit in where we do not belong, we may become contaminated, and we may become unholy, unclean, as we associate with things that God gave us the discernment to know, you don't belong there, get out of there. That's not a place for you. Allow me to read now Genesis 12, verse 1 and 2. Also, New King James. God saw this man named Abram. And God told him, I'm paraphrasing, get out of your country. You don't belong there. For your family and your father's house, get out of there. You don't belong there anymore. I have to show you a place where you really belong to. I want to send you to a land that I would like to show you. You need to move, because I have a different purpose for you. I will make you a great nation. Yes, you have a name, Abram, which means a great father. I'm going to make you really a great father. I will bless you and make you a name greater than anybody else, and you shall be a blessing to everyone in the entire world. Now, just to make sure that we understand the concept, I'd like to read for you one thing that it was always in every mind of every Jewish person, every believer had this in their mind. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Now I'm going to be reading from the New Century Version. Okay, please, Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2. Now, in the New Century Version says happy, but the New King James says blessed. So, blessed are those who don't listen to the wicked, who don't go where sinners go, who don't do what evil people do. They love the Lord's teachings, and they think about those teachings day and night. So blessed is the person who knows where they belong, and they know that they don't belong with the wicked. Because a child of God should not be listening to cuss words and should not be in an environment when the name of God is not being honored, but the attitude of the group where they are. Young man, young girl, at school or wherever you are, wherever you go, when people around you start behaving like they don't belong in the same circle that you should be, step out. Don't let their poison contaminate you. You don't belong there. When people start acting, they think that they are cool, and they start to mischievously planning to say something bad to other person or hurt another kid or say something that is demeaning to other kids just because of their race or because their gender or because their looks, step away. You don't belong to that kind of a unclean environment. Remember who you are. God chose you to be His. He's the one who sanctifies you, so don't let the world corrupt you. Don't go where sinners go, because sinners are always seeking for trouble. Trouble for themselves and trouble to those that are stick around them. Don't. Don't be contaminated. Don't try to desperately try to be accepted by those people that you should not be with them in the first place. Don't do what evil people do. But instead, love the Lord's teachings and think about them day and night. If you are at school, think about them. If you are in a park, think about them. No, whatever you are, think about them, because that's what you are. Remember, to whom do you belong? In John 15, verse 19, New Century Version, it says, if you belong to the world, then, of course, the world will love you. But I have chosen you, God said, out of the world. So you belong to Him. You don't belong to the world. That's why the world will always hate you, and don't let that bother you at all. Don't compromise your eternal life just to be loved to those that do not love God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, New Living Translation, it says this as a warning to all of us, all believers. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, these people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. Yes, they were here for a while. They were trying to fit in, but they were never part of us. They never really belonged with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us in the first place. Do you belong to Christ? Are you part of His church? Are your actions an evidence that you're trying to fit in or that you really belong in? Galatians 3, verse 28 in New Century Version says, in Christ there is no difference between Jew and Greek or Gentiles, slave or free person, male or female. We are all the same in Christ. in Christ, we don't need to fit in because we look alike, we speak the same language. In Christ, doesn't matter if we are Jew or Greek, it doesn't matter if we are a foreigner or a citizen, it doesn't matter if we're male or female. All that it matters if we really belong because we love the teachings of the Lord. Psalms 145, verse 18, New King James Version. Psalms 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him. In Psalms 145, verse 18, New King James, it says, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. And you all know Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus Christ, in verse 21, 22, when He says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. Why? Because many people try to fit in, but they don't belong. Because Jesus Christ says, those that really belong to Me are those who does My Father's will. And that's what this psalm is saying. All who call upon Him in truth, not in their own deceptive ways. In John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, we all are very familiar with this text. And it calls attention to, in New King James Version, says, for God so loved the world. I wonder, why didn't the disciples really immediately understood that the psalm says, all who call upon Him. And Jesus said, the whole world. Why would some disciples insist that the salvation was only for the Jewish people? Why they have so hard time going to preach the gospel to the Gentiles? If Jesus Himself says, for God so loved the world that He gave His, John says this, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The Bible does not say, and I'm going to read another text direct from Jesus Christ's quotation, a commandment from Christ. It says the whole world. It didn't say just to the Jewish nation. Everyone before God, there is no Jew, no Greek, no slave, no person, male or female. It doesn't mean the color of your skin. It doesn't mean your gender. All that it means is that the evidence that you belong to God is when you serve Him according to His will. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus said, go, therefore, and make disciples, not among us Jewish or only in Jerusalem or around Jerusalem. He says, all nations, disciples of all nations. There is no Jew, Greek, male, female, slave or servant. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things. Yes, all things to all people, to all everyone. God is in the all business. He does not teach all nations few things. He doesn't teach all things for few people. It's all nations, all things, because He wants to save the all in the world. All who call upon Him, as Psalms 145 said, all who call upon Him in truth. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. New Century Version. This is what Paul tells the young Timothy. A very young man. He says, remember this, Timothy. In the last days, there will be many troubles. Oh boy, do we know. It's already here. Because people will love themselves. Love money. Brag about it. And be proud. They will say evil things against others and will not obey their parents or be thankful or be the kind of people God wants. By the way, some of the other verse says they will be gossipers. They will not love others. They will refuse to forgive. They will gossip, of course, and will not control themselves. They will be cruel. They will hate what is good. In other words, we live in a day and age when good is bad and bad is good. How many young people keep going around saying, I am bad, meaning they think they are good. We'll turn against their friends and we'll be doing foolish things without thinking. They will be conceited. We'll love pleasure instead of God. And we'll act as if they serve God, but they will have he has nothing to do with his power. And the final part that he tells Timothy, and I say to every young people this morning, and also those of you that are, yes, young at heart, because you see, we will 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You do not fit in. You don't belong with those that do not believe the same way you believe. And that's not, don't think that you're discriminating against somebody just because you not be a blessing to you. You're cheating the person by getting yourself united with somebody who refused to believe the way you believe and will never choose to believe. You'll be amazed how many families have been completely destroyed because one simple decision not to listen to the counsel of the Bible. And this has been from Genesis, from the sons of God that end up marrying the daughters of the Son of Man. From the beginning, look the examples of how Solomon destroyed his life. Look how Samson destroyed his life. Look like how Esau destroyed his life. All of them committed the same mistake. They got themselves involved with people who did not believe the way they believed. They destroyed their lives and their chance for eternal life as well. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. If God tells you, I must step back because I don't belong here, because this is not a place where the name of God is being lifted up, remember, you don't need to fit in. What you need is a place where you belong. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 4, New Century Version says, my dear friends, many false prophets have gone out into the world. Yes, don't turn on your television on Sundays and still listen to them no matter how well they speak. It says, my dear friends, many false prophets have gone out into the world. So do not believe in every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. My dear children, you belong to God and have defeated them because God's Spirit who is in you is greater than the devil who is in the world. Yes, the devil does not sound like the devil when he speaks. And that's what gets people misled because he speaks as an angel of light. And that's why people sometimes get misled and deceived. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, New Century Version says, you should know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you because you belong to God. You have received the Holy Spirit from God, so you do not belong to yourselves because you were bought by God for a price. So honor God with your bodies. And the last verse that I would like to read, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, He's not talking about the Jewish people. He's talking about everyone of the whole world who accepted God and belonged to God. He says, you have been called from darkness into his marvelous light, which is Jesus Christ himself, who once were not a people, yes, but now you are a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy because you belong in. Let me close with the illustration. A true story. This individual was, I spoke for Focus on a Family for many years. He worked with them. His name is John Eldridge. In his book, Sacred Romans, he shares the pain of not belonging. Being left out in one of his life's most painful experiences. I remember, he said, the daily fourth grade torture of waiting in line while the captain chose their team for the kickball games. As each captain took turns choosing a player, descending from best to worst, our rank in fourth grade society was reinforced. Though others fear worse than I, don't make us take Smithy. We had him last time. He is not good. I was never the first to be chosen. No one ever said to me, wait, we get Eldridge this time. I didn't feel wanted. At best, I felt tolerated. And then there was junior high cafeteria. After buying lunch, one carry your tray out into the dining room, looking for a place to eat, to sit down and eat. There was an unspoken hierarchy that determined where you could sit. I walked over to a table filled with the cool kids, but there I could sit down. But before I could sit down, one of them will look at me and give me that kind of look like, not here, Eldridge. You are saving this for somebody else. John Eldridge is an author, and also a counselor and a teacher. He's also a president of a ministry that he created to help people to discover God and the essence of belonging to him and to his kingdom. He says, are some of the ways I learned the lesson that I was on the outside, that I didn't belong, that I didn't fit in. Throughout our lives, each one of us live in a constant nagging that we never quite fit in. We never truly belong. We have all had enough experience. All of us have enough experience to teach us that we will never be allowed into the sacred circle of some relationships. On the other hand, there is the joy of having someone save a place for us. You know, when you go to a special place like SeaWorld or Disneyland or someplace where you go, a park, and somebody raises their hand when they see you and wave for you, they are saving a place for you. That makes you feel that you belong there. Somebody cares for you. It gives you a sense of relief that at least somebody is keeping safe in a place just for you. Now consider Jesus Christ's words in John 14, verse 2. When Jesus said like this, I am going. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now I want you to imagine Jesus waving for you as you arrive. And here there's this vast table, the feast of the Lamb. And as you walk in, Jesus Christ waving at you, and put the hand on the seat that is reserved just for you. Because your name is written on that seat. The Lord Himself has reserved that place to you. And finally, you'll be able to say, yes, this is a place where I belong. May the Lord bless you and allow you to have the confidence that you don't have to live a life of compromise to fit in. Be brave, have the courage to stand up and truly belong to the one who claims you as his own. It is my prayer for you all that may the Lord bless you and give you a sense of belonging. Don't compromise to fit in. Don't allow bad companies to destroy what you are. You are special in the eyes of God. In the presence of God is where you belong. Stay there until He comes and invite you to His kingdom. God blesses to you. God bless.
Amen.